Well, as I'm sure you're aware, Christmas is just right around the corner. And for many of us, I imagine this time of year is a special time of year. Why is it so special, though? That's an easy question. We all know why it's so special. Christmas is special because that is the time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. It says it very clearly in our Bible about how Jesus came to this earth and how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Christmas is a special time of year because it celebrates and it commemorates the birth of Jesus Christ. As many have said before, Jesus is the reason for the season, isn't he? Now, of course, we don't know positively when Jesus was born, but December 25th is the day that we here in the United States and in many places in the world recognize Jesus' birth, or at least celebrate it and commemorate it. But yet, in the United States, and into this climate of ours, and I'm not talking about the weather outside, I'm talking about the social climate of the United States, political correctness, and there's oftentimes out there reluctance to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. There's a reluctance to talk about anything that's truly spiritual. It's kind of taboo to talk about Christmas and Christ, isn't it? At least in some circles. There are some that would love to just get rid of the entire idea of Christmas. They'd just like to say, well, happy holidays and season's greetings, and they don't want to talk anything about Christmas anymore. But today, I trust that you're not shy to talk about Christmas, to share with people the true meaning of Christmas. Yes, there are many that would like to stifle the message of Christmas, the message of Christ born, the Savior. Many would like to drown out its true significance in this world today. But we today, as ones who know Jesus as our Savior, we want to proclaim loud and clear the true meaning of Christmas, proclaim loud and clear that Jesus is the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Well, there are many that, in the face of the opposition and the reluctance to talk about Christmas, many have decided, well, we're going to talk about it all the more, and we're going to get our attention focused back on the real meaning of Christmas. And so maybe you've heard some of these phrases before, some of these sayings. How about keep Christ in Christmas? Have you heard that one before? Or the beauty of Christmas is not in the presence, but in His presence. The beauty of Christmas is not in the presence under the tree, but in the presence of Jesus Himself. The most important part of Christmas is the first six letters. Of course, the first six letters is what? Christ. Christmas begins with Christ. Another saying, Jesus took His place in a manger so that we might have a home in heaven. Or you've heard this one probably, wise men still seek Him. Well, this morning we want to focus upon the true meaning of Christmas. We desire to set our eyes upon Jesus Christ, that one who was born in Bethlehem. We desire to give glory to God the Father. We desire to exalt the name of Jesus this time of year. All the year round, but this time of year we want to exalt Him. So as we think about the people and the circumstances that surrounded the birth of Jesus Christ, who comes to mind? Who are those people that are closely associated with the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, you might think of Mary, right? His mother. You think of Mary's husband, Joseph. You think about the first visitors that came to see Jesus. And who are those? The shepherds, right? And how did the shepherds know about Jesus' birth? Well, the angel proclaimed the birth of Jesus. And then there's the heavenly multitude that also praised the Lord upon Jesus' birth. Maybe you're drawn to think about Simeon and Anna, those who worshiped the Lord upon setting their eyes upon the newborn Jesus. Maybe you think about the wise men who came to visit the child Jesus, the King of the Jews. As you think about all those people and all the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus, perhaps the least known are Simeon and Anna. We know about them, but they aren't quite as well known as the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the wise men. But as we think about all those people that surrounded His birth and His early childhood, probably, as we think about all those that we just named, I would say that the wise men were the furthest separated chronologically from the birth of Jesus. As we read in the scriptures, we realize that the wise men did not come to visit Jesus whenever He was in the manger, in the feeding trough, but rather He would have come sometime later, I believe, whenever Jesus and His parents, when we have Joseph and Mary, they were in a house. And probably a matter of months after Jesus' birth, perhaps a year or even two after Jesus' birth, we have the wise men coming to see the young child Jesus. And so the wise men were separated from the birth of Jesus by quite an amount of time, I believe. But yet they were important visitors to the young child Jesus and to Mary and Joseph. They were some of the most important visitors of Jesus' early life. There were people that took note of them as they came to seek Jesus. And we today also should take note of the wise men. I invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's on page 1112. 1112 would be the page number if you're using one of our pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And it's our desire this morning to follow in the footsteps of the wise men. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 2, rather. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." This morning we want to follow in the footsteps of the wise men. Well, how can we follow in their footsteps? Well, first of all, we want to follow in their footsteps by responding to the revelation that God has given to us. Look at what we read in verses 1 and 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Think about the wise men. There's a certain mystery that surrounds these men. Yes, we have these 12 verses in Matthew chapter 2 that talk about them, but beyond that, we know virtually nothing about these wise men. In fact, the only revelation we have concerning the wise men is here in Matthew chapter 2. In all likelihood, these wise men, or perhaps we could call them magi, these are ones who devoted themselves to the study of the stars. I think they studied other things, but they were experts when it came to the stars. And very possibly they came from the faraway city of Babylon, a city that was well known for its men of wisdom. And as these wise men were studying the stars, there was a night whenever they saw something totally unexpected, something that they had never seen before. It was on this night that they observed something in the heavens. It was a star that was rising, and it was an unusual star. It was something especially noteworthy. As they saw the star rising, somehow they knew that it held a special significance. They identified the star with something extremely important, the birth of the King of the Jews. Now, how they made that connection between the star that was rising and the birth of the Jewish king, we don't know. Did they have knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures? Were they somehow able to connect the Scriptures with the star that rose in the heavens? Or did they receive direct supernatural revelation from God concerning the meaning of the star? We don't know for sure. We would like to know all the answers to those questions, but we just plain and simple don't know. But we do know that they saw the star, and they identified the star with the birth of the King of the Jews. God revealed to the wise men, these magi, the birth of his Son, the incarnate Son of God. God showed these wise men truth concerning Jesus, his birth. And of all the people that God could have revealed this message to, he revealed it to people that were living far away, to Gentiles, not even people of the nation of Israel. We have these Gentile magi. But can you imagine these magi, these wise men? For years and years they had studied the stars, and on this particular night they saw this star, and they knew this was the star announcing the birth of the King of the Jews. They were excited. But they were not just simply excited, they also took action to go and see this King of the Jews with their own eyes. They made plans to go. We don't know how long it took them to get ready to go, but I'm sure it didn't take long at all. And they set off on their journey. How long it took them to travel, we don't know either. I imagine it was a matter of weeks, maybe even months before they reached their destination. But they desired to set their eyes upon the King of the Jews. Whenever God revealed this to the wise men, they responded the right way. Yes, they were excited, but then they took action in response to the revelation God gave them. There was no doubt in their mind. The King of the Jews had been born. They accepted God's revelation as true, and then they acted on it. They set out on that long journey to where they believed the King of the Jews would be born, to Jerusalem. God revealed an incredible message to these men. The King of the Jews was born. Jesus was born. And the wise men responded to what God showed them by going to seek out that king. As we think about we ourselves today, we have not seen that special star in the sky. Okay, we aren't like the wise men in that we aren't studying the stars and we see something supernatural that tells us a message from God. We're not in that position, but we today have received a great amount of revelation from God, haven't we? We have even more revelation than the wise men had. Because we have the completed word of God. This is God's revelation to us. Yes, we haven't seen the star, but we have something so much better than that star. We have the truth of God revealed to us in the scriptures. The question is for us today, how do we respond to what God has revealed to us? God has told us concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. He has told us how he desires for us to live in this world. He's told us much about himself. Who God is and what he's like and how we should respond to him. The question is, have we responded properly to God's revelation to us? Do we respond positively? Are we seeking after God and his ways, just like the wise men sought after the newborn king, Jesus? Do we respond positively to God's word, or do we just continue on with life as we have always lived it? We want to follow in the footsteps of the Magi, the wise men. They responded to the revelation that God gave them. We also need to respond to the revelation that God gives us. So what we read in the Bible, what is addressed to us, we need to live that out in our lives. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to respond positively to what you tell me in your word. Well, those wise men, they responded to the revelation that God gave them, but that's not where it ends. They also rejoiced whenever God led them. And we need to rejoice whenever God leads us as well. Yes, those wise men saw that special star. They knew that the King of the Jews was born. Now, God hadn't revealed the exact location of the birth of the King of the Jews, but they went where they presumed that the King of the Jews would be born. They went to the capital of that area, Jerusalem. That's where they went. They assumed that's where the King of the Jews would be born, in the capital of that once great nation of Israel, Jerusalem. Now they reach Jerusalem and they begin asking, well, where is the King of the Jews? Where has he been born? And no one knew what they were talking about. No one knew the answer to their question. And as word got to those who were the ruling authorities of the city and of the region, they didn't know where the king was either. They didn't know anything about the birth of the King of the Jews. And so it's in this context that we read in verses 3 through 8. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Here are the wise men. They come to Jerusalem where they assume that the king was born. And no one knew what they were talking about. The common people of Jerusalem didn't know. Even the ruling class didn't know. King Herod himself, the highest ranking official in that area, he didn't have any idea about the birth of the king of the Jews. But when he heard that news, he wasn't excited like the wise men. He was fearful. He was troubled. He was agitated mentally. He wasn't excited. His fear was, if the king of the Jews has been born, what's going to happen to me? You see, even though he was titled King Herod, he didn't have a right to sit on David's throne. He wasn't even a Jew. He was descended from Esau, if my memory serves me correct. So here is King Herod. He was quite the tyrant. And he was afraid with the birth of the king of the Jews, he wouldn't be in power for much longer. He was afraid that the birth of the Messiah spelled his own doom. King Herod was not excited about the birth of the king of the Jews, but he did want to know where he was going to be born, where he was prophesied to be born. So what did he do? He gathered together all of the religious authorities, at least the leading religious authorities, the chief priests and the scribes. He demanded them, where is the Messiah to be born? And they came back with the answer, came back from Micah the prophet, and they told him he's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. So Herod has the answer now. He calls the wise men to him secretly, and he pretends to be genuinely interested. He asks them all sorts of questions. Well, when did you first see the star rise? And he tells them, well, go to Bethlehem. That's where the scriptures say he's to be born. And whenever you find him, be sure to come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him too. Little did the wise men realize that King Herod was not genuine in his interest. But King Herod did send them to Bethlehem. And the wise men went and they searched for the child. And as they left Jerusalem, no doubt, they looked up again and they saw the star. And it was the star that was leading them now to where the child was. You see, the wise men responded to God's revelation about the birth of Jesus. They went where they presumed that the child would be, where the newborn king was, Jerusalem. But they went there and they didn't find him. But God used King Herod, the religious authorities, the chief priests, the scribes, to tell the wise men where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But that's not the only way that God led the wise men. Yes, King Herod told them, go to Bethlehem, and they went to Bethlehem. But in verses 9 and 10, we read this, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they had saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It was King Herod that told them, go to Bethlehem. So in a way, the one who wanted to murder the child Jesus is the one who directed the wise men to go find him. That's very true. But it's not just King Herod's instructions that led them to the young child. Bethlehem was a village, but yes, there were a number of houses, a number of places where he could be. It was the star itself that led them to exactly the right place where the young child was. See, this is no ordinary star. There have been studies in science trying to understand and explain, what is this star? Is it a convergence of certain planets at that point in time, whenever Jesus was born? Is it a comet that appeared at this point in time? But what convergence of planets or stars, what convergence you have a comet or maybe other things, what astronomical phenomena, a natural phenomena, could lead the wise men directly to the house where Jesus was? This isn't something natural. This is something supernatural. God himself was directing the wise men. It's a supernatural occurrence. That's what I believe. So regardless of what the star exactly is, I think it's something supernatural. That star led the wise men. And as the wise men were led, what did they do? They rejoiced with great joy. How incredible it must have been for those wise men. Yes, they had seen the star originally and they went to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, they go to Bethlehem and the star now leads them directly to where the child is, where Jesus the King is. God was doing great works. He was doing amazing things. The wise men rejoiced whenever God led them directly to where the child was. Now we today, we aren't going to have a star leading us directly to a place like it led the wise men. But God still leads us, doesn't he? How does God lead us? Well, he leads us through his word. There's no doubt about that. But God also uses people like the people here in this congregation to show us what we should do and where we should go. God chooses to use circumstances to lead us, to guide us. God uses the Holy Spirit who indwells the believer to prompt us to do certain things. God shows us where he wants us to go. God shows us what he wants us to do. And aren't you glad that God does lead his children? And whenever God leads us, how should we respond? We should respond with joy. The wise men were joyful whenever God led them. We also should be joyful when God leads us. So let's follow in the wise men's footsteps. Like the wise men, we need to respond to God's revelation. Like the wise men, we need to rejoice when God leads us. Like the wise men, we need to worship the king. We need to give him of our treasures. We read in verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This king that the wise men were seeking was no ordinary king. And we don't know exactly how much God revealed to the wise men concerning Jesus, but I believe they realized this was no ordinary human king. This was none other than the Son of God in bodily form, the God-man. I think they realized that this is someone, this child Jesus, is someone to be worshipped because he is God Almighty. And whenever the Magi came into the house, they saw the young child Jesus. They saw Mary, his mother. And upon seeing him, what did they do? They fell down on their knees and they worshipped him. They weren't just paying homage to an earthly king. They were paying homage. They were worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They were worshiping the one who is God in the flesh. And as the wise men worshipped this child Jesus, they acknowledged him as God. They honored him. They exalted his name. And how did they do that in a material way? They did it by giving him gifts. See, on their long journey from wherever, whether it was Babylon or some other city, all the way to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, they had gifts with them. They had precious treasures. No doubt these magi were quite wealthy, and they brought gifts fit for a king. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. These gifts were worth a lot of money, and they were fitting presents for the King of Kings. Yes, he was just a child, but he was the king. Yes, these wise men probably had great wealth, and from their great store of wealth, they gave precious gifts, earthly treasures, to King Jesus. And no doubt in their minds, you're thinking, how can I give anything less than gold and frankincense and myrrh, precious treasures? How can I give anything less to the King of the Jews? God in the flesh. These wise men worshiped the King Jesus and they gave him gifts, valuable treasures. Now we today are not able to set our eyes upon Jesus in bodily form. You know, we don't have that privilege to walk where Jesus walked, you know, walk step by step with him. The wise men were able to set their eyes upon Jesus. They were able to bow down right before his very presence. We today still can worship the Lord though, can't we? We can't see him with our physical eyes, but we can still worship him in our hearts and by the things we do and by the things we say. We can worship our great God and Savior. Now, as we present gifts to our Lord, we can't hand gifts to the baby Jesus or the child Jesus or to his mother, but we can give precious treasures to our Savior. We can give him of our money and our possessions. We can give him of our time. We can give him our very lives. That's what God desires. Because everything that we have is God's, isn't it? It's a gift from God. So while we can't give Jesus a gift like I can give a gift to Joe, you know, we can't do it quite like that, but we can give to the Lord. We can give to Jesus. We can give in an indirect way. We can give of our money and our time and our lives to the things that give God glory. So we can give to the church and to missionaries and to the poor and to those in need. And as we give from a true heart, in fact, what are we doing? We are giving to Jesus. I think of what Jesus said in the Gospels. For those who gave a glass of water to one of Jesus' disciples, in effect, what were they doing? They were giving it to Jesus himself. So we today need to follow in the wise men's footsteps. Yes, we need to respond to the revelation God has given us. We need to rejoice when God leads us, but we need to also worship the King of Kings. We need to give him of our treasures. And finally, as we come to verse 12, like the wise men, we need to heed God's warnings of danger. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. The Magi had seen that special star in the sky. God had shown them the king of the Jews was born. They went to Jerusalem searching for the king. God directed them to Bethlehem. They went to the house. They worshiped the king. They gave him gifts. The wise men, I don't think, had any idea that King Herod, whenever he gave him the instructions, whenever he questioned them, I don't think they had any idea that King Herod was not being genuine. They probably thought he really wants to come and worship the king of the Jews. But we know from what we read later on that King Herod was not wanting to worship King Jesus. King Herod was wanting to do away with King Jesus. He was wanting to kill him, to murder him. He was wanting to do away with the threat to his own rule. The wise men didn't have any idea about that until God revealed it to them. God took action to warn the wise men. They had a dream. It was a God-given dream, and the Lord told them, don't return to Herod. You need to go back another way, and that's exactly what the wise men did. They realized, we must not go back to King Herod. Whether they knew all the details or not, we don't know. But just as the wise men had followed God's revelation in going to seek the king of the Jews, they also heeded God's revelation, and they responded to God's warning not to go back to King Herod. And in doing so, God protected the child Jesus. The wise men heeded God's warning. They went back to Babylon or wherever they were from. They went a different way. I don't think the wise men knew a lot about the true and the living God, but they knew that God's word must be heeded. Whenever God told them to do something, they needed to do it. Whenever God warned them not to do something, they needed to take heed to that and not do whatever God said not to do. The wise men listened and obeyed. They heeded God's warnings. How about us today? We have many warnings in God's word. We need to be sure that we take heed to those warnings because God knows what he's talking about. And if we violate one of his warnings, we better be aware that there's going to be consequences to follow. Yes, we aren't going to have a dream like the wise men had, warning us of what not to do, but we have many warnings in God's word that we need to heed. God knows what is best. This morning, we followed in the footsteps of the wise men. In the days to come, we want to follow in the footsteps of the wise men. Like the wise men, we need to respond positively to the revelation God has given us. So what God tells us in the word, we need to pay attention to it and obey it, live it out. Like the wise men, we need to rejoice when God leads us. So as God leads us in our lives, by whatever means, we need to rejoice because God is showing us what we should do and where we should go. Like the wise men, we need to worship the King, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. We need to give him cheerfully of our treasures. Like the wise men, we need to heed God's warnings. All the things that God tells us not to do in the scriptures, all the things that he warns us about, we need to take heed of those, live it out in our lives. This is a special time of year. We celebrate Jesus' birth. And like the wise men, we need to do the things that we have seen in this passage, following their good example.